Wow. I mean, y'all realize that's gone on 15 years. Now, I want all you young people to know something. Mullets were cool when I started this church. Because I know some of you guys are mullet hunters. And you're going to like give me a mullet citation. But what's it? Well, I'm going to show y'all something. What's it? It's going to blow you guys away. How many of you in this congregation, in the name of Jesus, truth must be declared here, have had a mullet at least one time or another? I'm telling. And we have some liars in here too. That's why I want to let y'all know. All right, real deal. I want to talk to you briefly this morning because I really want us to come to the altar and have a time of prayer and touch and connect. And man, I don't know where 15 years has gone. I know it's gone fast, but I want to tell you what I've learned. I want to tell you what I've learned and then where we're going for the next 15 years. Okay? Number one thing that drives this church is that every human being that gets near this church would know that Jesus Christ has died for them and Jesus Christ is willing to live in them. No matter where you come from or what you've been through, God wants to connect to you and He has a personal name, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? If you're from Hispanic descent, Jesus. If you're Mideastern, Isa. Okay? But it's the same name. It works across the board. Okay? Jesus. And we're all about Jesus here at Hillview. Isn't that cool? And we're going to continue to be about Jesus. And there's a vibration that I want to talk about. You and I got to vibrate with the life of God in us. No matter where we come from, God wants to do something great in us. How many of y'all understand that principle? No matter where we come from, God wants to do something great in us. Yeah. Hadn't that been the story of Hillview? No matter what, we're going to get it done. Now let me tell you, the first thing I've learned, nobody can convince me anything is impossible. When I came here in 1991, every colleague I had said this church would not grow. Every pastor in this city except one, my dear brother down at State Street Methodist Church. Help me, it was Don.
Davis.
Don Davis, the older Methodist pastor, was the only pastor in this community that supported our ministry. That's why I call him out. I love him. I got a letter from him. He said, "Dear Steve Ayers, you are one of God's crazy people. I believe God's going to show some new things in ministry through you. I want you to know I celebrate that some people that haven't been to our church in a long time are now attending church." But here was the line that I loved more than any of it. "Love your brother and fellow co-worker in the gospel, Don." You know what I know about that brother? He gets it. He gets it. And I celebrate you. That's why I celebrate Jesus. Spencer, I've seen you do a lot of great things in high school. But guess what really warmed my heart? Seeing you hold the communion elements of God. Those are greater things. And if you got that now at 17 and 18, man, what are you going to be like in your 40s? Only God knows. That's why I love hanging around young people. You never know what they're going to be, yeah? I love teenagers. They are full of potential. I love university students. They ooze with direction. And the thing about being young, we got all kinds of potential when we make dumb decisions at the same time. How many of y'all made a few dumb decisions when you were young? Just stupid decisions. But how many of y'all God came on through and brought you through anyway? Church, I want you to understand something. Listen, real quick, open your potential. Every life in here can be used in a great way from God. Does that make sense? I want y'all, listen, this ain't a sunshine message. This is truth. Your potential in God still remains untapped to what it could be in this church. God's going to do great things. Now you look at that little old chapel we had over there. How many of y'all ever dreamed? I was asked this morning by Pam Danks. If you don't like the preacher here, blame her. She was on the pulpit committee and I got out of the truck and there was Pam. I said, "Pam, can you believe 15 years is complete and we start our 16th year of ministry?" I kind of laughed because there were people that had bets on me that I would be fired within 8 months. There was a pool among ministers because this church tended to get rid of theirs pretty quick. 15 years later, it's still here. But the it's not a preacher. It's the presence of Christ. And that's what draws us to God. I thank God for every person that's been to Hillview. Every person, because I think every person had a part and stirring the mix. I think some people are here for a season. And some people are here for the duration.
But there's an attitude you got to get at Hillview. You got to want to see people connect to Jesus. It really is. And guess what? I've never seen anybody leave our church that was their heartbeat. Isn't that amazing? And you can always see who the people are that believe it, because when you see pictures of the church, you always see them around the baptistry. They're celebrating with new people to meet Jesus. The bottom line, I know God works, yeah? And God can get you through anything. How many are there? This is a real deal. For me, my faith is very simple. Either Jesus is true or He's an absolute liar. It's one or the other. It can't be kind of both. And I believe Him to be absolute truth. Not a kind of truth, not one truth. I mean absolute truth. God said, Gabigail, anybody has potential. What do you think about that? Isn't that cool? When I look at you, you go out of here into the university as a God-sized potential to this world. What do you think about that? Who knows what you're going to do? I don't. You don't. But God does. Isn't that cool? Isn't it amazing? I don't know what's going to happen in 15 years, and I would be fooled to tell you that I did. But I can tell you some bullet points of where we're going. And look, they're right here, and guess where? 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. Some things we need to be reminded of. First of all, never leave Jesus, never leave Jesus, never leave who? Jesus. It's all about who? Jesus. It starts with Jesus, it finishes with who? Jesus. It stays continuing because of who? Jesus. There you go, you got it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way but Jesus. And here's what He says. Realize your potential. Look what He says here. As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him. First of all, I want you to understand. The world rejected Jesus, but God approved Him. Now here's what I want you all to hang on to. If you got God's approval, then what does that mean? I mean, you really are set free. Isn't that cool? Once you know Jesus has accepted you and loved you and connected you to heaven, then why do you need somebody else's approval? Hillview, here's one of the things I love about our church. How many of y'all feel like you can be who you are? Yeah. Well, okay, if you can't, I want to, because we got some new folk here today. I want you to be who you are at Hillview. It's the way I always want Hillview to be. But I had a good brother here. He still attends here regularly. He loves seeing people come to Christ. He wears a tie all the time. He'd feed his horses wearing a tie. Well, he got to come into Hillview, and there's just not a lot of us that wear ties here. That's not a bad thing. He came to me, and he said, man, do I need to take off my tie? I said, heavens, no. I said, if you were to take off your tie, you have changed who you are to fit in. Thus, you contradict everything we believe in. I said, the miracle of Hillview's is not clothes, it's Christ. And we could care less if you got a tie on or a collar on. We do prefer you to at least wear your shirt. But we'll even lead you to the Lord without it. Huh? Depends where you are. I've been in Africa and they, guess what? Nobody. Looks like Sturgis. See what I'm saying? Things are different. But guess what? God is wanting to get in our spirit soul. When God gets in our spirit soul, then the body gets wrapped up. It gets changed. Make sense? You ready? Remember, you're chosen by God, precious to Him. I think that's a word we need to relish. How many of you all have children? Your children are precious. Yeah. Okay, listen. Church. Now, guys, listen, I'm not going soft, but I want you to hear the word. There are some things that are precious. My wife is precious to me. Even though I don't tell her enough, she is. My daughter is precious. Even my son that thinks he's cool, he's still precious to his daddy. Now, I wouldn't say that if he was in here because he'd be embarrassed. But we have some precious things. Look, he said Jesus was precious to God. The world rejected Him, but God brought Him through. And I think we're in a world that just totally disconnects us from being precious. Breaks my heart. Nobody really cares about anybody anymore. How many of y'all found that? It's just pushing, pushing, pushing. I've been in an airport the past 2 weeks flying around telling people about Jesus. You all know me.
Thursday, I was trying to get from Little Rock, Arkansas to Nashville, Tennessee. That took 16 hours. I could have walked and been in Memphis at the same time. But anyway, I'm in the airport, I'm bundled up, and I'm sitting down next to a woman. This woman, I just got to talk to her, and she's from Italy. She lived in Italy. She started out in Austin, Texas, ended up living in Italy. And I said, how in the world do you go from Austin, Texas to Italy? Well, she gives me this story. She goes, you're spiritual. I said, really? It shows? She said, yes. She said, I'm a practicing Buddhist. And I said, well, I'm a practicing Jesusist. So we began to talk. You know, I found if you're a Jesusist, it doesn't offend anybody. If you're a Christian, they don't talk to you, especially if you're a church person. But if you're a Jesusist, it's all conversation. So I became a Jesusist. And I finally found what I was Thursday. I'm a Jesusist. I believe he was rejected by the world, precious to God, and through him, everything changes. You know what? And what was really cool, when you're talking to a Buddhist, they don't get in a fight with you. Because they go, I believe I could embrace this as one of the ways to the ultimate experience. I said, let me tell you something, honey. You embrace this, your hair will stand straight and curl at the same time. This is the kind of experience it is. Make sense? Look, what are the Buddhists doing? They're looking for a way. What is Jesus? The way. Yeah, just talk to folk. Now, I want you to know that you're precious, chosen by God. I believe God chose everybody from the cross to be saved. I have some preachers that argue that point on me, but with due love and respect to them, they're wrong. God chose everybody. He says it over and over again. God, I don't believe that God chose people to be damned. If God chose people to be damned, he'd have never showed up. We do damnation all on our own quite well. Have you noticed? I mean, we can create watches. You leave us alone, we'll kill each other. We'll steal from each other. We'll pilfer each other. We'll try to get ahead no matter what. And then comes Jesus and says, wait a minute. I want to forgive you of your sins and give you a better life. That's the whole message of the gospel, that a better life occurs because of Jesus. So what I got to do to get that better life? Choose him because he's already chosen you. Can y'all live with that theology? Now listen. We're not going to break fellowship if you believe. I'm not smart enough to know how God started. I know who he is. And in Jesus, I know he died on a cross for everybody. Y'all cool with that? Now, that's Hillview's theology. You get better when you know Jesus. Now, I know sometimes I get some intellectual, sophisticated religious people go, well, it cannot be that simple. There's the complexity of the eschatology of the movement of God. And I'm like, you've been to school too long. You need to look. Jesus didn't come here to tell us who he was. He came here and became who he was. Big difference. And he said, follow me and you'll discover it. Look, second thing is this. You and I are living. He said, you also. It says right here in the scripture. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Two things. God's not finished with us yet. We are being built, not have been built. How many of you all have noticed a distinct difference between being built and has been built? How many of you all ever built a house? Okay. What happens when you build a house? Somebody destroys your marriage. That is awful. It doesn't have to. Why does it destroy your marriage? Why do so many people get their marriage destroyed when they build their house? That is common. You know why? They think their house is their marriage. They think a house is a home. A house is just a house. You can put a price on a house. A home is priceless. You've never seen a real estate agent go, we want to give you the home that used to be in here. Because see, you can get a house, but you have to make the home. That makes sense? And God wants to build us into a spiritual house. We are being built. There's some parts that aren't finished yet. How many of y'all got some parts that aren't finished yet? But how many of y'all glad it's being built? See, that's good news. It never quits. They say, Ayers, when are we ever going to quit at Hillview? You got two options, last breath or trumpet sound. I'm going for the last breath myself. What's this? Your last breath ought to vibrate the living God. And I do believe this.
If your last breath here on earth vibrates the living God, I guarantee you, your first breath after that will be in heaven. Isn't that neat? Do you see the metaphor here? How we got the church so dead in America, I have no idea. I've been pondering that for 25 years of my life when I got into this thing called following Jesus. Church is automatically something that ought to be a living kind of thing. It's all in the Bible. God always talks about life. I just love Jesus. He gets around blind people and bling, they start seeing. And deaf people, bling, they start hearing. He gets around crippled people, man, they start walking. He gets around women that feel left out and all of a sudden they're brought in. He gets around sinners and they get cleaned up. I'm telling you, when you get around Jesus, things always get a lot more like heaven. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's not about how religious we can be. And watch this. Here's the overview. You're going to fall in love with Jesus and religious people are going to pick on you. And that's okay. 15 years I've been picked on. I'm still written about. I get write-ups. And they think that really bothers me, but they don't understand. In high school, I have a whole notebook of write-ups. And God was preparing me for this long before I took on the ministry call. It's what's right. So watch this. You ready? First of all, you've been chosen in your preciousness of God. Second of all, you're being built. This whole section over here. Y'all are being built. Y'all don't look like you did 10 years ago. None of you. Wow. You're still being what? Built. And even those of you that are older, you're still being what? Built. Let me tell you something that was exciting this morning. I got up this morning. I looked in the mirror and I said, Lord, I can't believe it's been 15 years. Then I looked in the mirror and I was a believer. I looked at my hair. There's kind of a little, some highlights Elizabeth puts in there for me, a little white through there. And this what? Then I turned profile to the mirror. There has been some things changed in 15 years. But then guess what? I had the most exciting thing happen to me this morning. I've spent 15 years being one of the pastors of the Hillview Heights Church. And guess what? Today, as I come to preach to you, today, as I get the privilege to celebrate worship with you, today, I'm more amped up than I was 15 years ago, the day I set feet in that chapel. That's of God! I can't wait 15 years from now. I'll be going, if you could move, body, I would be more amped up now than I was 30 years ago. Some of y'all will have to be the body of us amped up old people. What do you think? God could do something great here if we'd just let Him build the house. Here's what I love about Hillview. For 15 years, there's always been dirt moving around here. It's a parking lot. It's worse than the Nashville airport. And now let me give you the prayer. I hope in our entire ministry we never stop moving dirt. If that's the plan, we're not stopping. Now, I don't know what we're going to do. How's this for a pastor? I don't know what we're going to do. I know we're out of building space. Okay? Yeah, we're going to have to go up, go down. We've got to do something. But let me help you. I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to build a super mall for Jesus. That's not our gig. That's not Hillview-ish. I have no criticism of any of my colleagues that have super mall, large churches. I praise God for every one of them. That's of God. But I'm talking Hillview. We got to be on the strip, you know what I mean? We got to be in the middle of the action. We can't be a light set off. We got to be a light setting off right in the middle of everything. I was down in Biloxi, and one of the pastors asked me, he said, if Hillview started a church down here, I said, let me tell you what. If we had a Hillview-like church in Biloxi, we would be the party at Mardi Gras. You know what the churches do? But guess what the churches do in Biloxi? They close that weekend. because those nasty sinners might drink a beer on their front porch. But Hillview said, you know what? We'll meet you with beer in hand because the drink we bring is stronger than the one you taste. See, that's faith. Make sense? Jesus on the street, being built into a spiritual house. Now, we're about even done. Y'all ready? We're about done. Short sermon today. To be a holy priesthood, that means this, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is it? Let me pull that down for you. It means you love one another as Jesus has loved you. The greatest thing you can do is love another human being. Just look at another human being, just somebody beside you, and just go, you know what? I'm going to love you even though you don't know me. Just tell them. Come on. I'm going to love you, you know. And if you know them, that even may be harder to do. Yeah. I know you. You say this. Watch this. This is a powerful prayer. I know you, and I'm going to love you anyway. Sometimes that's even tougher. Yeah? Elizabeth, I know you, and I know, and I thank you for loving me anyway, that you know me. Yeah, huh? It's a real deal. What's the sacrifice? Watch this. It's this. It's to let our lives be the vibration of the living stone. And we too become living stones, being built into a great house that declares to the world, Jesus works. Welcome to church. Amen. That's it. Look how complicated we've made it. Well, I love you guys. We're going to keep on going. We're going to probably turn air conditioners on next week. Give them to work. Hey, but now listen. Don't y'all get all excited, y'all. Listen, that's why I want y'all to get saved. Some of y'all are bothered by heat now. Wait till what's coming. Hey, I don't know who that guy was in the paper, daily newspaper. He wrote, he said he'd been to all the churches in Warren County, and he'd never heard anybody in Warren County preach on hell. Well, where's he been? Has he ever been to an invitation to Hillview Heights Church? I hope he's here today. Do I not go over every Sunday? If you decide to refuse Jesus Christ, what's the result of that? Okay, good. I knew I had said it. I don't know where the brother's been. Now, I'm not here to give you a sermon on hell and give you all the pictures of hell because, see, when you know Jesus, you know He doesn't want you to go to hell. So I would rather for you to have the way out than the picture of. How many of y'all are kind of glad to know that God didn't build hell for us? Now, however, man, some people just decide to go there. It's awful. I was with an 85-year-old man this week. That's why I want you all to connect to Jesus when you get the opportunity. 85 years old. Sat there and explained the gospel to me. Looked at me and said, "Preacher, I wish I could believe what you believe." He said, "But as far as I'm concerned, they're going to take me right over here to the cemetery. They're going to bury me and that's it." And I said, "Do you understand there's a possibility of a hell?" He said, "I understand there could be a hell, but I don't believe there is one. And I can't believe what you believe. I wish it could. I understand. I'd be better off." And I said, "Well, why don't you just try it in case I'm wrong?" He said, "Oh, I even know that. If I'm wrong, I lose everything. Everything. And if you're right, you've gained everything." He said, "I understand that principle." But he said, "I don't believe I'm going to have to worry about it." And I said, "Well, I appreciate sharing the gospel with you. And I said, I pray that before you leave the planet, you'll receive it." He knew about the cross and resurrection, knew how to be saved. Many people had ministered to this brother over 85 years, but he had made a conscious decision to reject God. Here's what I want you to know. There are a lot of folk like that. Not some, a lot. You know, and he came back with the one argument. He looked at me and said, "You know, there's a lot of people in church going to hell too, preacher." I said, "Don't tell me something I don't know, old man. I pastor them. You only go once every, you know, Easter and Christmas. I live with them." But you know what I told him? I looked at him and I said, "There's not a single soul in church believing in Jesus headed to hell, though." You know, that's the way people do. They find the one person in church that's raising all matter of Cain and say, "Look, the rest of them are hypocrites." Well, that's baloney. You don't do that to UK fans, and they're as fickle as they can be. You know what I'm saying? UK lose one ball game and it's all over. They're not making it to the show. Tubby's no good. Da 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 da. Guess what that's called? Hypocrites. And you don't go, "Well, I'm never going to a UK game again because hypocrites." That's crazy. I do want you to give Jesus a thorough evaluation. Here's what he said. He wants to forgive you. Do you want him to forgive you? Well, here's what you do. You've got to ask him into your life. And when you ask him into your life, you become a part of that spiritual house. Is that cool? Here's how you ask him into your life. Lord, I've sinned. How many of y'all realize you've sinned? Yeah. How many of y'all done it and liked it? Good, I'm just checking. I've never been tempted to something that wasn't fun. The devil never came by and said, hey, why don't you do that? This will really kill you. Never, never, man. Number two, he says, once we've confessed our sins, guess what? He said, ask me to forgive you. Believe that Jesus died on the cross, has risen from the grave, and that's the way to your what? Salvation. So you ask the Lord to do what? Come into your what? Life. And forgive you of your what? And when you receive that message, what happens? He does. Why does he do it? Well, he loves us. That's his motivation. But how do you know you're saved? I'm hearing murmurs from the congregation. Good. He died for us. He said it. Absolutely. Since he paid for it, he can say it's good, and it is what? Good. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all are glad to know you've been chosen? Cool. Cool deal. Cool deal. He's fine. And praise God, aren't you glad kids want to talk to the preacher? I was scared of mine. How you doing, big boy? Doing great. I need a volunteer. Young volunteer. Where's the young volunteer? Give me a. Come here, big boy. What's your name? Huh? Tucker. You good? You're not embarrassed, are you? Good. You look good, too. Do you know that? I want y'all to understand salvation. Here's salvation, God's possibility. And if Tucker was to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, look what the Lord would do. He'd come in, and he'd get you, wouldn't he, Tucker? Now, who got a hold of you? I'm going to show you how this works. Well, I want you to go out there and rebel. I want you to act up and be disobedient. Take off. Go. Take off running. Roll. Welcome to salvation. Thank you, Tucker. Now y'all get it, don't you? See, when something bigger than you really gets a hold of you, tell me, Lo, are you going to change? I mean, when Billy Lowe got saved, 10, 12 years ago now, hadn't it, somewhere in that zone? Lowe looked at me and he goes, well, what can I do? I said, anything Jesus will let you. He said, what if I go do this? I said, well, go do it and see how it works. They came back and said, it was awful. I said, I guess Jesus got a hold of what? You. Makes sense? I mean, glad to know that God's bigger than us. Bigger than the problem we experienced this week. And he's going to bring us through. Amen? Well, let's stand together.